Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Hey, everybody. I missed you. I missed you all, you best people I know. Been a few days. We didn't have a show. Had a busy weekend. I hope you had a great weekend and really excited to start off this morning with a renaissance soul. She is amazing. Lillian Brummett. Love her. The more you know her, the more you're just going to love her and you're going to want to stay in touch with her. She's unbelievable. And she's calling from British Columbia, so she's up a little bit earlier. But we appreciate her being on. Before I read her bio and bring her on to share tips on how we can do it all, because she certainly knows how to make the most of her life. Wow, she does everything. I just wanted to remind you that we do add shows occasionally, so if you follow us and mark us as a favorite, really helps. And then you get the worry-free updates as well. So, for example, tonight we have a special show at 9 o'clock with Kathleen Gage, and many of you know her as Street Smart Marketing. She's all over everywhere. And, you know, things like that. So you can also go to greenskyandbluegrass.com, which is my main website, and you can sign up for the monthly motivation news. And I do a once-a-month update of all the guests, unless, of course, we have a special edition. But I try to be, you know, thorough in that, and you can sign up for the newsletter, and that would be great. And just thank you for being here. Regular listeners, we're going and growing. And if you're new or listening on iTunes, I just want you to know how much we appreciate you. This is a free service to you, and we cannot keep going and growing without you. So make sure you share the show with a friend. And let's get ready to be inspired with one of the best people I know, Lillian Brummett. First of all, she really, to me, to my heart, she's a 21st century renaissance soul. She's an educator. She's a writer. She's a marketer. She's a percussionist. She's a drum manufacturer. Wow, how cool is that? She's a gardener, a seed saver. She's a photographer, graphic designer, outdoor enthusiast, and she has an amazingly popular radio show, so she's also a radio host. Lillian and her husband, Dave, dedicate their lives to inspiring hope in individuals, helping them to realize the value of their efforts, and encouraging them to become more positive and proactive in life. And that's what Lillian's here to do with us today. Dave and Lillian have recently been recognized as community heroes by the Live Smart British Columbia program. They've also been awarded outstanding use of media to reduce waste in our environment by the Recycling Council of British Columbia. Seeds of Diversity has also awarded them with a certification of appreciation for volunteer contributions, and also from Boundary Family Read. Wow, they have so many awards. Columbia Basin Alliance for Literacy. And Lillian's, this is really interesting, has an award-winning poetry book, and that has appeared in 5 hardcover anthology books and magazines throughout North America. And she's had the honor of attaining Editor's Choice Award for Outstanding Achievement in Poetry not once, but twice. That is hard. Dave's photography has won awards by Cottage Magazine, and his work also appears on the graphic design work for the Place and Time CD, among others. And most recently, the Brummetts have been acknowledged by the Canadian Wildlife Federation, who provided the Brummetts with Backyard Habitat Certification Awards. And it is my pleasure and privilege to introduce everybody today to the 21st Renaissance Century Soul, Lillian Brummett. How are you doing today up there in British Columbia?
Well, I'm doing fantastic now that the summer rains have passed. We had about, gosh, a little over a week of almost constant drizzle going on up here, and it's a little unusual to have such a cool, wet opening to summer. So here we have a beautiful day this morning, Deb. I got birds in my yard, beautiful blue sky, lots of chittering and chirping going on out there. You couldn't ask for a better morning.
Oh, well, I tell you, see, best people we know, best mornings, it's all good. Gotta love that. It's always a feel-good thing. Now, before, usually we wait to the end, but I want to make sure right off the bat we give everybody your website and how to contact you, because I subscribe to your newsletter. I love your work. I love what you're doing. I respect and appreciate you so very much. And you have a great website, The Many Hats of Dave and Lillian Brummett, and it talks about, and you can see all the beautiful gardening and your portfolios and writing and so many visuals and pictures there. Can you let people know how to get to your website and sign up for the Brummett's Muse newsletter?
I'd love to. Thank you for this. Everyone, just visit us at brummett.ca. Just the spelling of our last name is B as in boy, R-U-M-M-E-T.ca. So brummett.ca. And again, when you go there, there's all kinds of information, as Deb mentioned, for signing up for the newsletter. There's a widget there. All you got to do is pump in your email address that you want to send our newsletter to you. It goes out every 2 weeks or so. And, of course, we have our daily blog that you can visit and our radio show and so much more, as Deb mentioned, on that site. So I do encourage people to drop by that site. Again, that's brummett.ca. And, of course, we have contact information there for those of you who'd like to network in some way or just like to chat about some thoughts that are going on in your mind. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. And, you know, one of the things that I really find fascinating is, you know, how you do so many things so well. And I think that that's going to be a great, you know, a great way to probably segue into introducing you, because I'm sure people listening and they go to the blog right now, or they go to your website while they're listening if they can, they're going to know, wow, how do you do so much so well? You've won all these awards, so obviously the credibility is there, and it's just amazing how you are fueled with zeal on a regular basis. Not only do you do so many things, but you do so many things well. Okay, Lillian, what's the secret? You got to tell us what's making you tick and what can help all of us be inspired to live our best and really make sure that we're using all our talents and God-given treasures.
Well, for me, it goes back really to the very beginning of my life. I was brought up in kind of a broken, sort of a abusive, neglective environment. We moved actually 13 times before I was even 8 years old when we immigrated up here to Canada from California, Nevada area. And when my mom married her third husband, she had four husbands before she finally found the man of her life, you know, the love of her life, which also was a big healing process for the family as well. I was on my own when I was 13 years old. My mom was not equipped with a lot of patience and a lot of skills, and she had a lot of things going on in her life, you know, broken relationships, three kids to support, you know, women out there, you know what I'm talking about, all the stress and issues that, you know, women faced during, you know, for employment and just trying to survive, and it was really hard for her, and she had a lot of baggage from her own past, her own childhood. And, you know, back then, of course, they didn't have counselors. They didn't have self-help books to help people through that. It's only been in the last, you know, 20 years or so that that's really picked up and become mainstream. And so she didn't have the opportunities that I had really to overcome my past and my issues. So when she was raising me as a broken, wounded individual. And, you know, so, you know, I can't find blame there for her. And I don't have anger there for her anymore, for the, you know, for the neglect or for, you know, being out on my own when I was so young. I ended up staying out of the system, meaning I wasn't caught by the government living on my own and put into some sort of foster care or what have you. I basically stayed out of the system by working before and after school and on weekends. And yes, I stayed in school for the first year that I was on my own. and I was working at like nurseries and farms, you know, cleaning out barns and taking care of animals and babysitting and really all kinds of jobs, little jobs that I could do just so I could pay the rent. And eventually, it didn't take very long before I realized that I was very, very different from other kids in school who had, you know, mothers and fathers and white picket fences going on. We just lived two different worlds. And so eventually I ended up, you know, refraining from going to school. And I went back in my, I don't know, 1920 era. I went back and I got my university level of grade 12 so that I could go to university. At the time, I was thinking of going into biology, which is obviously a passion of mine for those of you who visit my site and see how much I'm interested in gardening and agriculture. But anyway, at that point, I started going through a lot of self-help type awareness activities. I went through a girls' attendance program, which helped young girls that had gone through abusive situations deal with the issues that they were facing. I had my poetry, which I used to help me, you know, express and scream at the stars and pound on the earth and get all those emotions out on paper. And the library was a huge resource for me. I gleaned the libraries for every self-help book that they had. And spent about, gosh, it must have been about, oh, 5 or 6 years on this journey of just healing and overcoming. And then I really felt this compelling desire to be self-sufficient. I was really tired of working for other people. I've done a lot of labor, a lot of hard labor in my life just to pay the rent, just to pay the bills. And I was really feeling unappreciated as an employee. And I know there's many of you out there that feel that way. And I felt this real compelling need to be on my own, to run my own business. So right around, I think it was around 25-ish, I started a business. And it was serving the upper class clientele who needed help around their home. So I was providing domestic services. And I did that for about 6 years. You know, when I first started the business, it was, I went to the business courses and to, you know, various support that was in the area, counseling for business startups and that kind of thing. And they were saying to me, you know, look, there's like over 100 direct competitors within this small area of the city. And we don't really think that this, you know, offering another service is going to work. And I'm just so stubborn. I was just like, yeah, well, we'll see. So I got out there and I started doing it on my own. I went to door to door. I took flyers. I rolled them up and I put ribbon around them and made the ribbon all frilly and nice. And I stuck it inside the you know, these big homes, these mansions. I stuck it inside their doors. They have usually these hoop door handles. And the flyer stuck in there so nicely. Well, within 2 years, I was turning away clients. I was actually hiring people and I was turning away clients. So for those of you who are out there that feel like maybe you'd really like to start your own business and you're maybe feeling like the area might be oversaturated for that service, or maybe you're feeling like a little bit intimidated about entering a business, I'd like to encourage everyone with my story of just getting out there, you know, pump the pavement. If you don't have advertising dollars, print out some flyers and start, you know, knocking on doors or just leaving them on their doorsteps or where, whatever you have to do to get your business happening. Anyway, I did that for about 6 years, Deb, and I was feeling pretty good about reaching the success level, but I just wasn't satisfied in life. I wasn't happy. I couldn't find happiness despite overcoming the past, despite finding a wonderful relationship with my husband, Dave. I just wasn't happy in life. I couldn't feel good about getting up in the morning. I didn't enjoy my work. And one day I was running back and forth like all women, you know, on my lunch hour and coffee breaks. There's no such thing. I was running back and forth doing shopping or rushing home to get something done in between jobs. And during one of these rushes back and forth, I got involved in a three-car pileup accident. It was not my fault. I was actually at a stop where someone was turning left. I was behind them, and some fella in a brand new Dodge Ram truck, full-size truck, was speeding, and he wasn't paying attention. He just came off the lot, apparently, and he was watching some woman put her groceries away in her car instead of watching where he was going, and he slammed into us. And that put me into physiotherapy for over a year and a half. The first year was full time. The last half was part time. And at this point, I just fell into chronic depression. I just thought, how could I go through everything that I went through in my life, pull myself up on my own without outside help, get through all of this, you know, emotional trauma, become quote unquote normal by having a business and a relationship and trying to be this quote unquote normal person out there, and then just have it all taken away from me. Well, I was devastated. I lost everything. It felt like I had no value in life. It felt like all the work that I had put out there was worthless, that it was wasted energy. And I just didn't want to live that way anymore. In fact, I was really not wanting to live anymore. And I came to this point, I said to Dave, I just can't continue this way. He says, well, what do you want to do? I don't know, you know. So we started looking at, okay, well, where do our talents lie? And I started saying, well, you know, I've always written. I've always enjoyed writing poetry. The pen has always felt comfortable to me. I've always done really well when I was in school, won awards for my writing and stuff like that. So I thought maybe that might be the way that we would want to go, or that I would want to go. Of course, Dave was right behind me. He's a support system. He happened to be in the same frame of mind. Doesn't always happen in every relationship where the timing is just so. But we were both in the same frame of mind right around the same time. So we were sort of supporting each other and encouraging each other to make these changes, to break away from the mainstream, you know, working for the man and not feeling comfortable in life, not feeling like our life had value. For me, it became almost like a monk-like obsession. Like, literally, I had to pull myself out of depression and keep myself out of depression. And so for me, it became such a passion that every single day, with every moment, that I felt that that there was value, that there was a reason why I was breathing at that moment, that I had survived and I was alive, that I had some kind of value to the planet in some way. And that's just grown from there. It started with exploring writing, and, you know, look where we are now.
Wow, wow, wow. You know, I just want you to know that the chat room is super busy, and we're very blessed today. We have two great radio hosts as well who you probably know that can resonate with your story, talking about that beginning part of your life where, you know, you didn't have the white picket fence and you did have some hurt and some struggles and some big challenges. Maria Wall, another person who's created something really good out of something bad, she started the Wall Foundation, Healing Through Hurt. And then all of your transformation and your inspiration, Candy O'Donnell's in there, she's another radio host, and she talks about transforming all of the things in our heart into something to give back to society. So I'm just mentioning that because we are all the best people we know. I see you in there now. I really think that these radio shows, when we get together, I don't think it's an accident. I believe it's a divine appointment. And I know that you just blew me away with your story, and I've known it, but not in that detail. And I'm sure that you're giving a lot of hope and inspiration to somebody else. So, you know, there's a lot of things in here that I just want to pause on before we go to some of the things that you're doing and the how-to, so that we can all embrace your zeal and your passion. You know, the first thing that strikes me is you didn't grow up, like many of us listening, with a perfect life. And I think that so many of us feel as though we're broken in some way and we can never have value because of that past. But what you teach us is to move forward and to, you know, deal with things that come to us like depression. I know I suffer from depression. Depression is something, I think it's an inherited curse, but, you know, in some ways it causes us, as you had said, to really search for value, honest critique of talents, passion, making a difference in life, being appreciated and appreciating others. And, you know, I, as tragic as it was to hear the accident, perhaps without that break on life, because you were successful by worldly standards when, you know, you were going out doing those creative things that most people are saying, wow, that's great. She went, she did these flyers, she went to all these stores, she had to turn away business. But, you know, there was something more for you. There's something more for you to give to all of us today. And because of that accident, you really did get to know yourself who you were, what you loved, what your gifts were, and then grew from there. And, you know, a lot of people listening maybe feel like, well, you know, she has Dave, she has this great husband, she's, you know, she's beautiful, she's, you know, she's got all these things. But you know what? You were still looking for something more. And it was value. And now you're focusing on that. Do you, I just want to hear you say this again. No matter how broken you are listening, no matter what the problem is, look at Lillian as an example. Look at the things that she overcame and look at what she's doing. And we have to learn from others, as Eleanor Roosevelt said. What do you think are the top three character traits? Is it the honesty? Is it the passion? Is it the value? What do you think are some of the three quality characteristics that we can all take away from your story of where you were to where you are? Or do you have three top ones?
I would say perseverance, self-discipline, refusing to accept the norm, I guess. Refusing to accept what, you know, path has been laid out for us to always pursue something better, because there is always something better on the other side. I think so often we tend to fall into, you know, this state of apathy where we just sort of accept the road that's laid out for us and, okay, this is the road that we have to go whether we like it or not. And, you know, often it isn't until like our retirement when we sit back and we go, wow, you know, I didn't enjoy life. Now, finally, I can pursue my joys and my passions and explore things that I haven't tried before. Why do we have to wait till we're retired? Why do we have to wait until it's just about the last end of our life before we really participate, before we really make a difference in the world? It should be every day, every single day. And it really does make a difference. Now, when it comes to finding the solid relationship, you know, that was far from easy. I went through many, many very difficult relationships. I was engaged, in fact, for 3 years to not a very healthy relationship. And when I actually left that relationship, I gave myself a little over a year of, you know, forced singledom, where I was not dating, I wasn't accepting any dates or anything like that. And I spent that time learning myself. I'm very passionate about poetry, and I'm also very passionate about music. And there are several songs out there, some lines that really impacted me. And one of them is, when you have your feet already on solid ground, that when you get into relationships, they're not going to destroy you if they don't work, because your feet are already on solid ground. You're not going into the relationship depending on them to fix your ills and your ails and fill holes that you might have in your life. You have to be on solid ground if you really want to have a good relationship, a solid, healthy lifetime relationship. And so I spent time working on that, a good year, over a year working on that, learning who am I? You know, and that was a really hard question to ask myself. Growing up how I did, it just never crossed my mind. Who am I? You know, it's survival time. You know, you're just breathing. You're just you're treading water. It's all you can think about is, you know, keeping your head above the waves. And then all of a sudden, who am I? Do I like the color blue? Do I like working outside? What kind of clothing do I like? What style do I like? What kind of people do I like? You know, I just didn't know. And so I had to start asking questions and write to myself. I did a lot of writing where I just, you know, to myself, where I just talked about things that I liked or didn't like. I took a lot of little personality tests, you know, like you can find them at employment centers or career centers or colleges and schools sometimes will have them where they help you sort of define who you are. And having those questions aren't the end-all, be-all. Those having those tests or filling out these quizzes that you might find in magazines or whatever, they're not the end-all, be-all, but they start you on the road. They help you, or help me anyway, start to explore who I am and what I enjoy. And knowing that helped me pursue where I was going to go in life. I couldn't have gone where I was. I couldn't have even settled down with Dave if I hadn't have done that work ahead of time. And I think too many of us just put that aside. We're too busy, as I say, just trying to survive, trying to tread that water, keep our head above those waves and not drown, that we can't take the time to put in that work, and yet it's so incredibly necessary. We cannot have those lifetime relationships if we don't do that work.
Mm. Wow, you just said so many things. And reminding everybody that, you know, the best thing that you can do to soak in all of these tips and insight that Lillian's giving to you, you can replay the show, and I would encourage you to do that, and you can get it on iTunes too. But, you know, I think many people can relate to having times in their life, long or short, where it just felt like, you know, surviving the day. Instead of getting up in the morning and saying, good morning, God, it was more like, good God, it's morning, you know? And I think that the people can relate to that feeling and that experience. But, you know, you give some really practical tips. And one of the things that I love about you and what you're saying today, and I think the listeners can take this away, you know, it's like life, the roadmap. If I'm going to go somewhere, I'm in the Boston area, but if I want to go up to Maine, you know, I've got to get my map out. I have to pinpoint where I am on that map first before I can plot out a course to where I want to go. And what you're really resonating with, for me anyway, is taking that time. It's not a waste of time to get to know yourself, because it's not going to be the relationship, it's not going to be the money, it's not going to be the job, it's not going to be all those outward things that give you happiness. It's going to come from within, which it did from you. And I just wanted to echo the exam thing, because I recently, you know, changing, reinventing, haven't gone from medical sales, we're both biology people, you know, things change, we change, we're supposed to change, we're supposed to grow, we're supposed to have new desires and wants. And I recently went back to our community college, and I think it was a free service for the Myers-Briggs exam, you know, and those things, they're not, it's not fortune-telling, but it does give some insight and some validation. So I think that's really a powerful, practical thing that we can all do in looking at that. But you really had to look at yourself and your creativity and, you know, the discipline to just say, you know what, I've got to enjoy my own company, because I can't expect somebody else to enjoy my company if I don't enjoy my own company first, before you went into the relationship. And many people listening, you know, I think that's a message for somebody on their heart that they need to hear. But let's move on to all of the things that you're doing now, because one of those things that you did that many people may consider doing is writing or journaling. You know, you're an award-winning poet, and, you know, your radio show has been a great healing tool, and your blog and all of that. But, you know, writing has really given you an opportunity to get to know yourself and express your feelings. And would you share something about that with somebody listening today, how that can also be a creative catalyst for knowing yourself and how you're feeling and being honest in who you are? Okay, I think we might have just lost Lillian.
Oh, I'm here. Sorry about that. I had my line muted. I didn't realize. I started out writing poetry just out of spontaneity. I had, I sat back and I just started putting it on paper. I'm not sure exactly why, but afterwards I would burn it, because I was so ashamed. So there was so much anger and so much hate, a lot of self-hate, a lot of suicidal thoughts, a lot of stuff that I thought, oh, great, someone's going to read this, and out comes a white jacket, and they're going to lock me away. I just didn't want people to see it. I didn't want, you know, it was a lot of shame. So I burned them. My first, I don't know, a couple hundred poems I probably burned. And then afterwards, I started keeping them, just scraps, accidentally, you know, would find their way here and there. And I'd come across them, you know, months later, maybe a year later, I'd come across this, you know, scribbled piece of napkin or something. And I'd realize, wow, that's how I was feeling that day. Isn't that, I wrote that, you know, and these kinds of thoughts were going through my head, and I would reread them. And each time I reread them, and it could be months and years, and repeatedly read them over and over, I saw them differently. I saw myself differently. I was able to view the pain that I was having at that time differently. And it really helped me understand myself, express myself, but also just to as I guess the word is, evaluate, you know, where I was in life. When I started when the poetry started getting noticed by other people, people would say, oh, you know, you really should do something about this. It would bring them to tears. They would share their own stories. And I realized, wow, this is a really powerful thing. I mean, I had seen it in school, you know, high school and elementary school, the power of writing, but it didn't register until much later in life when people were coming across my poetry. And, you know, adults that were in their 40s were reading poetry that I'd written when I was 16, and they were saying, you know, goodness, you've got to put this out to the public. And so with their encouragement, I started adding, entering contests, newspaper contests, local community contests, radio contests, whatever. And I started winning and getting honorary mentions and winning prizes and, you know, all of this. And that was sort of the reason why when I, later on in life, when Dave and I were finding out where we wanted to start this new journey, when I looked back and I saw this sort of journey with poetry, I thought, well, you know, maybe there's something to this after having had that recognition. It's so important to write down. I mean, people will journal, they'll write songs, maybe they'll write poetry. However you get it out, it's so important to get it out. I'm going to show you an example of this. This is actually a poem that's on page 114 of the first edition of Towards Understanding, the print edition, and it's called Important Review. This was written when I was 22 years old. I'm 40-something now, 42 I think now. So it was written about 20 years ago, and it's called Important Review. How does shame fade away? Such confusion letting go. I just want to believe in something for me. It's always been this way for far too long. I can hardly remember when it began, and I can't remember life before. I've been punishing myself forever. I'm not sure that I want to stop. Innocently abused, violated, and yet I can't stop feeling that I was wrong. A terrible, filthy child of lies and hate, hiding myself, my life, taking on masks and admired traits. This soon became my way. I learned what response, what laugh was desired, and I forget my childhood and the boundary of reality. My life has been demolished, and I want to be good. I only feel shame burning in my soul. Unable to love such a filthy child, and sure no one else could, I hid her, covered tight, trying to please, and hating it. Now I see myself as a child, frightened and muffled, hardly there, but the visions bear the same. She calls me now, haunts me, turning me bitter. Hope seeps through where it disappeared last, dealing now with the children of my past, frozen in memory each time. Together they fight me with their shame, but masks drop just slightly. Not knowing me, learning to face life as me, who am I, and to shed myself of this torturing pain.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wow. I know that there's a lot in there that really grabbed my heart, and thank you for sharing that. But, you know, I think that it's so true for so many of us that those childhood things, they really do, they do follow us, and they do cause us to be who we are in many good ways and in fearful ways. But I think listening to that poem, for me, just it's so striking, I think, that the honesty and feeling the feelings, sometimes leaning into the feelings, helps to give some sense of peace and closure. And maybe everybody listening can't write a piece of poetry like that, but maybe a lot of us can identify with that feeling, and you said it for us, so that, you know, we all have something that we don't like in our life, and we all have a lot of things that we love in our life. So we're all the same in that sense. But you taking that and putting it into poetry and overcoming your fear and finding that way that worked for you, you know, that is a message to all of us, whatever it is. And I do think that writing, you know, is such a gift because, you know, I think there's a lot of scientific studies. The biology person in research really does show that when you write something down, it becomes more real. You're likely to achieve a goal, and so many other things. How do you overcome? How did you overcome that fear?
Well, I didn't have a problem with the writing part. The publication part was quite difficult for me, actually. I started in my writing career as a freelance writer, doing articles for magazines, newsletters, newspapers, that kind of thing. I didn't really consider the idea of publishing books until much later in our career as writers. And I started, actually, the first book was based on a column that I had published, a biweekly column that was published for about 9 years. And I wrote the first book based on, I think, the first 6 years of that column. When you're writing a column or any article that you're being assigned or you're querying out, the magazine or the newsletter, whatever, they're going to have a set word count. So they might say to you, okay, well, you've only got a space of 250 word count that you've got to fit that information in. And that can be really limiting. It could be 700, it could be 1,400 words, but it's still limiting. You're not able to maybe cover that subject as fully as you would like to. And so that's where I started with the Trash Talk book, the first edition of that book. It's now in two volumes in a revised edition. Been completely expanded because it's a topic that's my passion and, of course, I've been covering for many, many years. But I started with that one. The second book that I released was the poetry book. Now, that one was absolutely terrifying, like literally terrifying. I really wanted to see my poetry in print, you know, collected, sort of like a vanity thing. I wanted to have it on the shelf and look at it and say, wow, you know, there's my book, you know. But then I started thinking, well, rather than going the vanity route, I wanted to try to take it to a traditional publisher and get it out there to the public so that hopefully someone else could learn from my experiences. Perhaps a social worker who's maybe book taught but doesn't have the emotional experiences that are necessary to really empathize with their clients, perhaps the book would help them. Perhaps it will help the parents or the guardians, or even the individual who's going through that situation in their lives or a similar situation in their lives, to help them, as you say, find a voice for their own emotions. Just like music, listening to music, we don't all write music, we don't all sing, but we can all release ourselves through the music that we listen to. It's the same with poetry. The words are so powerful that someone has written, and they're saying just the thing that we've never been able to voice or for our own selves. And so I thought maybe it could make a difference that way, and it has to many, many people. But when I first put it out there, as soon as it was said, okay, you know, here's your release date, well, that's when the sweat started pouring down my ribs. I was really nervous. I thought, okay, well, here I've just opened myself up. Everyone can see all of the little warts and scars. I'm standing there naked in front of everyone. They can criticize. They can poke at my fat. You know what I mean? It felt really, really scary. And I didn't know how other people were going to take it. I felt like very vulnerable. And I was also very concerned about how it might affect the family, even though the family was aware that I was going to be releasing this, and I was very careful. I mean, I had over 300 poems to go through and reduced it down to about 125 for the book. So there was a lot of stuff that didn't go into the book. I had to be very careful about what I was comfortable releasing to the public. And even then, it was just absolutely terrifying. Then I started getting feedback from listeners, or readers, I should say. And they were saying to me, you know, this has made such an impact on me. Another reader just recently, last year, who read the first edition of the book, they won it in a prize contest, and they wrote me back and they said, you know, I've never been, you know, they grew up in the white picket fence, quote unquote, and they sort of lifestyle, and they didn't have those kinds of experiences. However, they still had other experiences that they were carrying around, teenage angst, issues about, you know, where they were going in life, purpose and passion in life, these kinds of things. And they found it very, very powerful for themselves. So you just don't know who you're going to have who you're going to help, you know, who you're going to have an impact with. And so that gave me a lot more, I don't know, courage. I have very little reservation now, whether it's an interview or an article or just a conversation. I just rip open my chest and I just, you know, I just open myself and I reveal everything. And I think it's so important to be able to be at that point in my life now, to be able to do that and feel comfort with that, not worrying so much about what they think or what they're going to say or any of that. It's so powerful to realize that simple little things, conversations, one little poem can change someone's life. And that's pretty neat thing, you know, and as a writer, to be able to reach international audiences. You know, there's like, what, 1.5 billion humans out there that speak language as their first or English language as their first or second language. So we have that huge audience out there that we're able to reach out to, share our information, our tips, our resources, whatever, and be able to try and make a difference in the world in really small ways and sit back and watch that ripple effect happen. It's absolutely incredible.
Wow, you are absolutely incredible, and I can't believe we're coming to the end of our time together. You're going to have to come back on so we can continue this because you are just such a breath of fresh air. And, you know, my passion is always finding good things and the bad things. And, you know, things that you shared at the beginning of the show talking about the tough times growing up, you had a quest. You had a quest to find purpose. You had a quest to find meaning. You had a quest to find peace. You had a quest to find, you know, love and happiness. And in that quest, in the discovery along the way, you know, I love how you've built it up just with the poems and the publications. You became available to detach from the results, and you just did the best you could with what you had from the sincerest, deepest place in your heart, and look at the life-changing things you've done. And the other issue, getting back to the title of you being the Renaissance soul, you know, if we look at all of these things that you do as separate entities, it might be overwhelming, but the reason they work together is because you take a skill set, you take a passion, and you build on it so that, you know, your healing quest and the writing and then the radio show and then, you know, your passion for giving back in the community and the music that's healing and, you know, your drum business and all of these things, I think you are a witness to putting things together to build on one another as an entity. You know, it's not as though a tree is made up of just one leaf. A tree has lots of leaves to give it its beautiful visual effect and its cool breeze and all of the things that it does for us. And that's what I think you share with us today, is that all of these things together really, you know, empower the other one so that they're never taking away, they're only adding to. Do you have anything to share with a listener that might, you know, be coming from a place that says, you know, I'm still looking for that, and where do I begin now? I have these ideas. I think I have my passion. You know, maybe they've gone and taken the Myers-Briggs test. Who knows? We don't know, Lillian. But, you know, what would be, besides signing up for your newsletter and connecting with you, and I want you to give out your radio show handle again, too, what could they do when they hang up from this conversation today?
Wow. Well, first, I guess I learned from Martha Stewart's example, where she had a certain focus on her business life and her passion in life, and everything that she did pointed back to that one focus in her life. So she would have perhaps many venues out there, but they would all drive traffic to her website, for instance. And her website was a catalyst for everything that she did. She didn't have separate websites to deal with all of these different things. She drew everybody to the one website, and from there they had all of these places within that genre that they could explore. And that's basically the business, I don't know, plan that Dave and I have. We are always looking at ways of expanding. We have files of projects that we would love to get to whenever our schedule opens up to allow it, and many, many more things that we would like to do for our website, many things that are going to be happening this year as well. So we have a lot of passion to get things done. Just start, you know, really just for the people out there that are listening that have a genre that they want to explore, a career, a passion that they want to explore, it's really just start. Learn the practicalities of the business. Don't just walk in and think that you're going to immediately become one of those stars that just gets discovered overnight. You have to do the work. You have to take the courses. Learn the business of whatever it is that you're doing, the behind the scenes. Communicate with others so that you're able to do it in from a professional stance, so that, an efficient stance as well, so that you're not having to go back and redo things or make mistakes that you can't repair and those kinds of things. So really important, do your research. And for me, as you say, you know, it didn't start all at once. You know, we started with freelance writing, or I started with freelance writing, and then Dave and I gathered together. We took the freelance writing, collaborated our skills, and started putting out books and music CDs, and you know, it just went from there. Eventually, we had a blog, and then a newsletter, and that radio show that started in 2007 has been going strong ever since. And you know, you just start, and you never know where it's going to take you. We didn't start our writing career thinking, wow, I'm going to be a radio show host and I'm going to do this. It didn't start that way. So you just have to sort of see where your talents are going to take you. What are your passions? Where are your talents? And then how can you make that work for you so that you can continue to do that on a regular basis? Feeding ourselves is most important. If we're not waking up in the morning and our feet hit the floor and we're not happy that the sun has risen that day, there's an issue and we got to make some changes right away. So definitely start journaling, writing, whatever it takes to find out, you know, what it is, what you need to do to make your life a more pleasant experience. And as I say, you know, do the research before you start embarking on anything. I'm a big research hound. Doesn't matter what we're doing, whether we're querying a certain magazine or we're taking on a whole new project for something we haven't done at all. It doesn't matter. I'll put in the time. I'll do the research. It's really, really important to do that.
Wow. I'm just curious. How does Lillian get up in the morning? What is? Do you have a special prayer or a practice, or, you know, how do you get up in the morning? How do you look? I mean, I know you look at the day as everything as a gift, but you know, just from a practical standpoint, what do you do first thing in the morning?
First thing in the morning, I get up about 5 o'clock ish. And my feet are hitting the floor. I'm very much a morning person, so I'm up and I've got my mind's already in overdrive, which can be an issue when it comes to trying to sleep in. But I'm definitely a morning person. So when I get up, I'm right away. As soon as I have Dave off to work, I go back to my office. I'm working right away. I do emails, my blog, my newsletter. All of that is done usually before 9 o'clock. Getting ready for a radio show if I have one, any interviews or discussions that are going on that day or media appearances or anything like that is taken care of or researched or prepared for. And I do a lot of marketing, a lot of querying out there. About 70 to 80% of my time is actually marketing and putting out new queries for an article idea or just trying to get more exposure, like we're talking today, to draw attention to our website and the work that we do. I usually finish my day right around 3 o'clock-ish, my office day. Then it goes into the homemaker thing. I also manage the home, the dogs, the gardens, the yard, bookkeeping. All of that is done by myself. And so when Dave has his days off in the day job, he is able to come in and he's able to dedicate his time into the long list of honeydews that I have for him for the graphics and for website changes or cover designs or images that I might need for a media event or anything like that. So What we've done is we've tried to split up who has talents in which regard. Dave really loves working with images, photographs, graphics. He loves technical stuff. He enjoys setting up the programs. He has the patience to read manuals, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm more like, tell me what button to push because I'm too impatient. I don't want to take the time to learn the programs. I'd rather just have someone show me which button to push and I'm you know, ready to go. So we split up our talents, and I think that's really, really important. If you're an individual rather than a couple working on any passion or a partner on any passion that you might have, if you're just by yourself, don't hold yourself back from the idea of outsourcing or networking or bartering in some way, asking questions from your peers and getting advice. People are so helpful. When you contact them, you say, look, you know, I really enjoy what you're doing. I admire what you're doing. I'd love to learn from you. Will you be my guru, my mentor? I have some questions. People really enjoy helping other folks. And you'll find, especially on the internet, people are very receptive to sharing information. So whatever you're passionate about, whether you're on your own or whether you have a helpful partner, like I have with my husband, you can do it. It just might take some time. Don't forget to do that research and ask those questions of your peers out there.
Mm. And, you know, I think that the discipline is really a delight when I listen to you because it allows you the opportunity to be free to do all the things that you're so talented to share with us and gift to the world. Because I'm telling you, I'm the big bow around you, Lillian. You're just a huge gift. It's unbelievable and an inspiration because, you know, you didn't start out with a silver spoon in your mouth, but all of those experiences, whatever the compassion, you know, was crystallized in the suffering, you have really turned all of those things into something great, and, you know, you're still not finished yet, so the best is yet to come. I also wanted to make sure, because we do have some other radio hosts, and we have Candy O'Donnell, as I said, and Jay Early, and Maria was in there, so along with a lot of great guests, so thank you all for joining. But I know that you have a deep love for your radio show, and you're my mentor when it comes to that because your show's been a big hit since, like you said, 07, and you've been doing this for quite a while. You have a huge following. How can the radio show, whether you're a host or a listener, how can that bring healing to us and also in helping us to become the best that we can be in all areas of life? Because I really do believe that these radio shows are amazing resources for so many things that we are all searching for.
You know, well, initially when I started the radio show, I was encouraged to do so by hosts who had interviewed me and said, you know, really, you should have your own show. You have so much to share. And I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll consider it. And I sort of stumbled upon Blog Talk Radio. I had been looking at many other stations, some that wanted the host to pay, others that would pay the host, others that would, you know, offer free spots for the host, all different levels and, you know, attributes to these different stations. But I really liked what Blog Talk Radio was able to offer me, the flexibility that they were able to offer me at the time. And so those are the that was the station that I ended up picking. Now, I started this back in, as you say, back in 2007, and it started out as a weekly show, about a half hour, and now it's going one-hour shows every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. So it's really grown. The audience has really grown, and it's become a huge passion of mine. Initially, I'm big on marketing. Purple Snowflake Marketing, you'll notice, is one of our books. And it's really, you know, how can we stand out? How can we get noticed? How do we get our books noticed by people? How do we get our drum business noticed by people? And that was one of the reasons why I started the show. But within a few months of running the show as a host, I realized, wow, this is really offering me all kinds of things. I learned how to be a better guest on a radio show, because I was able to see things from the host point of view, you know, what they're behind the scenes, what they're going through. I was able to query radio shows and other media much more effectively because I had such an insider's knowledge of what they're going through, what they need to receive from me, and that kind of thing. So on a business level, I really enjoyed the experience that I was gaining from that, the practical experience. But on a personal level, it became like a drug to me. It's become my coffee, my garden. It's my drug now that I just absolutely, I have to have it. If I had to put away any of the aspects of our life, the radio show would be the hardest one for me to give up. The reason is because I'm able to have people on the show from all over the world that are English speaking and come in and talk about incredible things that are happening in the world. You know, we're so bombarded all over the world by negative information, whether, you know, traditional media, television, what have you. We're just constantly bombarded with all that's wrong in the world. And it leaves us in this state of feeling like we can't do anything about it. And, you know, what does recycling matter when there's a coal-burning industry down the block for me? You know, these kinds of thoughts are going through people's minds. And by bringing individuals onto the radio show and highlighting what they're doing or what their organization is doing or what their city or community is doing to make the world a better place, it feeds people with this incredible positive information. They don't feel so alone. They feel more empowered. I've had so many guests tell me or listeners tell me, hey, I just started volunteering. I've never volunteered before. I just started volunteering down at the food bank. I've just decided that I'm going to join this organization. I'm going to participate in my local schools. You wouldn't believe the kind of information, feedback that we're getting from our listeners, because they're empowered. They feel like all of a sudden their life can have value, that half an hour that they have once every 2 months really does make a difference. It really does make the world a better place. And I think that's so important that we highlight that we feed people with that information. The more people we can get being proactive, even on a half-hour basis every 2 months, is so important. And for me, too, to feel like they're on a personal level, that there are so many other people out there working to make the world a better place, I don't feel so alone. Sometimes it can feel a little lonely, but when you're introduced to all of these wonderful people on a regular basis and being constantly stimulated by what they're doing, it just, I don't know, it makes your life just seem so much more richer, like you feel like doing more rather than cutting back because you're tired. I don't know, you just feel more energy, more passionate, positive about life.
Well, I'll tell you what, I definitely, if everybody doesn't feel more positive about life and to really embrace being the best person that they were created to be in all ways possible, after listening to you, Lillian, I don't know what's going to do it, because I tell you, what an inspiration. And, you know, just to use the garden analogy, I don't even think I'm aware, maybe, you know, we're all going to have to recap and think and compare notes, because the seeds that you've planted in my mind and in my heart, who knows what it's going to grow. I have to listen to the show again myself. But I agree with you. I mean, that positive energy of being with like-minded people, it's just more powerful than anything else you could possibly grab hold of. And what you're doing is certainly making the world a better place. And I know that Candy's already in the chat room saying that she signed up for your newsletter, your blog. So hopefully we have made a lot of new friends here today, and we're just going to keep on going and growing. But I just love what you're doing, love what you're about. Thank you for walking your talk and being an inspiration. And just make sure you give us your website again on how to connect with you, because I know that people are going to want to, whether they're listening on replay or live. So can you just share that one more time?
Absolutely. Our website, our main website, is brummett.ca, B as in boy, RUMMET.ca. And my blog is consciousdiscussions.blogspot.com. That's consciousdiscussions.blogspot.com.
Well, thank you for the privilege of sharing that beautiful Renaissance soul with us. And I know that everybody listening is thanking you the same. And you can listen to the show on replay again on iTunes. And I know you're going to want to share it with a friend. We are out of time, and I extended the show, but we are out of time now. So you'll have to come back, and we'll do more.
I'd love
How's
to.
That? Agreed?
I'd love to. Anytime, girl. Anytime.
All right. Well, we love you. You're in the Best People We Know Club. We've added you in for sure, for sure. You're Best People Approved Executive Officer. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And just go check in with Lillian. She is a star and just really lights up the sky with her beauty and sincerity, and she can help you be your best. So for now, be yourself, because everybody else is already taken, in the famous words of Oscar Wilde. Go out and make it a great day. God bless, and thank you. So much appreciate having you here today. Make it
thank
a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know Radio Show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know Radio Show.